Good morning, church. It is great to see you guys here this morning. It is wonderful to be rejoicing with you in the presence of the Lord today as we celebrate, first of all, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, but also the fact that we live in the greatest place on earth. That even though we have a lot of dysfunctional friends and family and fellow Americans, that sometimes we fit into those categories. The beautiful thing is that we still live in one of the greatest places that's ever been known to man. So this morning, I'd like to invite you to join with me in a moment of prayer. We're going to join together and say the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we are going to begin worship together. One quick thing before we do so, just as a reminder, this side over here is reserved for the no-mask territory, and over on this side is the mask territory. If you, on your way out, make sure that you guys on this side that are not wearing masks, head out those doors on that end. So, and the rest wearing masks can go this direction following service, and you guys can socialize and get together and talk out in the parking lot and hang out there or go to the pavilion, but enjoy that time together outside the building this morning. All right, let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for the fact that you are the source of freedom. You are the source of all good things. And one of the greatest things that you've ever given to anyone is the right to be free, the opportunity to be free from sin and death and hell forever. And that is what freedom is all about. We just ask that this morning that we would rejoice in the fact that you, Jesus, have opened that door for us and that you invite all to walk in and into your presence. We just ask that this morning that each one of us would take your offer of grace and mercy and love up, that we would find forgiveness and freedom that only comes through you, and that we would be able to worship you this morning freely without anything holding us back. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be born here, to live here in this great country. And we ask that you would bring your people together under the umbrella of your love, so that you might be able to bless our nation and that we might be able to continue to worship you in the greatest place on earth until the greatest place ever, your kingdom come, your will be done. In Jesus' precious and holy name, all God's people said, amen. Let's stand for the pledge this morning. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Let's worship the Lord together this morning. Thanks, gang. You know, one of the great things that we can do is we can gather to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And one of the great privileges we have is the freedom to do so. There are places where this is greatly discouraged, even in a non-COVID-19 situation. But the beautiful thing about living in this place is we can gather together, and when we do so to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who hears our prayers, the one who responds as he sees fit and what is best. And you know, sometimes God responds with the answer, no. Sometimes it's with wait. Sometimes it's trust me. And sometimes it's yes. And through all of it, we really need to trust him in every situation that we find ourselves. And there's a lot of people listed here in our prayer area, individuals who are sick, people who are struggling with health concerns right now. And we're going to go before the Lord this morning and pray for them and pray for this service. So let's go pray. Father God, I thank you that in the midst of our need and our suffering and our struggles and our pain, you've seen us and you've met us at our greatest needs. You've sent your son to die on the cross for our sins and to free us from the chains of sin and death. And we just rejoice in that great gift that you've given to us to set us free. Free to live for you and to love those around us in as best we can, Lord. And I just ask that this morning, that as we lift them up to you, that they would know that their church family is praying for them. Be with Ralph Giese right now and continue to strengthen his old grumpy body. And I just pray that you would give him strength to face each day. And I pray that you'd bless him and let him have a wonderful day today. Be with Esther Martin and her family right now as there's her son and her sister going through so many struggles right now. We just ask that you would bless them all right now and just provide healing and health for them. Lord, for John, who's healing up after a stroke, we pray for the best quality of life that you can give him. And if that's complete and total healing, Lord, we ask that you do that. But if it's the ability to push through and carry on, we ask that you do that as well. Be with Connie White's sons, and we just pray for healing, and with her daughter-in-law and the great kidney exchange that took place between a husband and wife. Lord, I just pray that you would speak into their lives right now and just give them more than they've ever bargained for as they meet you. Lord, be with John Matthews and heal up his foot, and I just pray that you'll get him standing strong again. Be with Jessica and Andrew, as they also went through a kidney swap. I just pray that you would bless them and heal them up and make them well. be with Alicia right now and help her be strong and get to recover from her procedure, and continue to strengthen Brad's heart and his arteries and make them well. Make them flow freely and work correctly, and give him strength each day. Be with Carol Katzenberger today, and I just pray that you'd come alongside her and that you would be the God of all peace and comfort to her. And Lord, for those who are struggling with cancer and those who are struggling in marriages and with families that seem so out of control, for those of us who are placed in leadership, I just pray that you would give us wisdom to navigate the days ahead. That in all that we do and say, that we would honor you, that we would trust you and seek your will for the good of the land and for the good of the people. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this great day, because every day that you give to us is the most awesome day on earth. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. You know, when I was a kid growing up in a little town called North Street, Michigan, we had all of three TV channels. Remember the good old days, old people? We had ABC, CBS, and NBC. Which one of those is the Peacock station? I can't remember. Okay. It's just crazy to think of how much has changed over the years, because now we've gone from three to like 30,000 channels. But I remember there was one thing that played across every last one of those three channels that we got to enjoy, and it was a commercial telling you where the greatest place on earth was. And when I was a kid, growing up in the middle of nowhere in Michigan, I knew the same thing everybody else did, that the greatest place on earth was where? Disneyland, Disney World, Orlando, Florida, the Magic Kingdom. Anywhere that Walt Disney put his pen was the place you wanted to be as a kid. Now, here's the problem. Right about the time I was born, my mom and dad packed up all the kids and took them to Disneyland. And I never got to go with my mom and dad. I was so deprived as a kid. Everybody else got to go to Disneyland and experience the great time with the Mickey Mouse. Now, it was kind of weird because I got this little coffee mug as a baby from my parents that was Mickey Mouse dressed up as a sheriff. And here, that was my memory token of being at Disneyland. I think I wasn't even, but that's where we went. And they even got me the little hat with ears. I think actually one of my brothers and sisters gave it to me, but they gave it up. But I had no memory of being at the greatest place on earth, according to what I saw on TV. Some people would say that the Grand Canyon or Niagara Falls or some beautiful place that they have been and seen is the most beautiful and wonderful place on earth. I remember as a kid believing and seeing all these different things. And back in the 70s and 80s, there was Crocodile Dundee. So there was this fascination with going to Australia. You remember that? And now it seems things that came out of Australia. And Crocodile Dundee, Mel Gibson, and who can forget Nicole Kidman. But anyways, the whole thing is there's a lot of great reasons to go see Australia and that outback region. In recent days, through movies, we've been enticed with the idea of New Zealand and all these other places that previously nobody had seen before, and they look like the most amazing and wonderful places to go. But just because it's a beautiful place, it doesn't mean the place isn't dangerous. And most definitely, it doesn't mean that they don't need Jesus. Every last person, every last place on this whole earth is needing Jesus. And if Jesus isn't there, it doesn't matter how good it looks from the outside. It's an ugly, terrible place to be. But you know what? I still believe that America is the greatest place on this earth. Because I believe that God is still here. He's still present. He's still with us. He's still for us. And he wants to do great things in us and through us to change our land, to restore this world back to what he desires. Because there was an idea that formed this great nation a long time ago, and it was the ideal of freedom and liberty and justice for all. Many of the people who settled in the New World came to escape religious persecution and so that they could be free. And in around 1620, a group of people, some God-fearing people, left everything behind for this new freedom, and they started a colony, and it began to grow, and people were welcomed, and people were loved, and they worshiped God freely. Or they didn't. Because there was even some form of tolerance for that. And that idea and that dream of freedom to worship God or not, that great passion from freedom grew in many ways, and ultimately a new nation based on freedom was born. And by issuing the Declaration of Independence adopted by the Continental Congress on July 4th, 1776, not 1976, 1776, the 13 American colonies severed their political connections with Great Britain and declared that they would be free. You know, this is 4th of July weekend here in the good old USA, but it doesn't look like any 4th of July I've ever participated in before. There were no parades, no official fireworks, really. We were told we shouldn't be gathering. And instead of celebrating our freedom freely, fear and restrictions have taken the shine off of this 4th of July. And even though we have so many new restrictions on us, we still live in the greatest country in all the world. God has blessed America in the past, and he's doing it right now, and he's going to do it in the future. And God, who sets us free, has enabled us to live in freedom here in this place. And my prayer is that we don't lose sight of that. And that we grab a hold of him and gravitate to him in such a way that freedom goes with us. The question is, what really is freedom? Some people would say freedom is to do whatever you want, when you want, how you want, with no restrictions or interference by others. People think that that would be the ultimate display of freedom. But here's the problem. Lines get crossed, and there has to be some order. There has to be some dedicated line in the sand that you don't cross, some things that are there that say, you know, there are things you cannot do. And I'm glad that in this nation, for the most part, we still follow what God has said is right and true, and what is wrong and not to do. When he says, don't murder, don't steal, all those things, we don't take those things for granted. We keep people, we restrain ourselves from exercising those types of freedom. Because we still believe that there is a greater sense of justice that holds us to a line. You know, some people believe that they should be able to do whatever they want, how they want, when they want. And no one should tell them no. And I don't know about you guys, but I grew up on the hard end of no all the time. Didn't do me any harm. But unfortunately, we live in a world where people think that they don't have to listen to the word no. But God says no an awful lot. And he also says, know him. And the only way we're going to do that is by looking to his word. You know, there are a lot of super rich people in this world who have the capability to do all those things without interference that we've talked about, but they're not free. They're still slaves to their position. They're still slaves to their money. They're still slaves to the accountability that eventually comes to us all. Some say freedom is having access to the very best and being able to take advantage of it. Well, there's a lot of people who take advantage of the opportunity to go to college and never put it to work. There are a lot of people who have a lot of different things, but it doesn't make them a better person. And there are many people who have access to everything, but they will never be free. Freedom, true freedom, is so much different than what the world says it is. Having freedom is the greatest gift that God has ever given to mankind, and it only comes from him. Because freedom comes when you're no longer a slave or in bondage or without hope or without future. Freedom is when you're free of control of another person. And we are set free from our greatest adversary, sin, death, hell, forever, by giving us life, hope, and future through Jesus Christ. I am so glad that God is the one that is in control of setting people free. Those who choose to come to him, hear these words, 1 Corinthians 15:55 through 57, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's interesting is in that verse, I was mulling it over a little bit there. It seems that people look at that and they say, well, the law is the problem. You know, if there was no law, I would not sin, and then I wouldn't have this guilty feeling in me all the time. But the thing is, the law is so important because the law reminds us that we are accountable to someone and we have this thing that we need to measure up to, and it's God's standard, not our standard, but it's his. And the thing about the law is it's a great thing because it reminds us that we need to be saved, that we need to be protected, that we need to be loved. The law is not bad, but what it does do is it points us to the fact that we need a Savior. And what's interesting is this, that God stole the power of sin and this power of the law and the power of death. He ripped it all away when he sent his son. And through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God has made it possible for us to have victory over and freedom from sin and death and hell forever. But unfortunately, so many people want to meddle around and wander around in the sin instead of gravitating close to the Savior, because they know that by gravitating close to the Savior, that it's going to require them to have to live up to his standards. You know, it used to mean a lot when you went somewhere to another country, another place, and they found out you were an American. You went and everybody was like, wow. And now people kind of look and they go, huh, I wonder if what I've heard about you Americans is true. And you know, the unfortunate thing is there are standards and there are basic principles we need to live up to as Christians following God. And there are basic principles that we need to follow and live up to as Americans. So my question is, how is it we make real freedom our own? Freedom in Christ to live our lives to the fullest for him, but also to the fullest for his glory and the glory of those around us. Well, Scripture is the only thing that points us towards that freedom and where we're supposed to be heading. John 8, 31 and 32 says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, there's a lot of people being molded and shaped by what the news says and what society tells them. You remember back what I said? What was the place to be back in the 70s and early 80s? Australia. Now people are wanting to go to New Zealand. The crazy thing is, one of the places that is supposed to be the best place on earth right now? Norway. Norway. It's a little Norway. Has anybody been to Norway? Anybody? The only person I thought that might have been was Carl, but, you know, that was, I don't know. But one of the things that's difficult is that we have to find that we live in the greatest place where we can worship the Savior. But we fail to do so. Someone said something this morning, and it really made me think, and it's still haunting me. You know, I've got two wayward dogs that run off all the time, and they experienced something where their little dog disappeared and took off and ran away for about 12, 14 hours, and they were desperate, and they were looking, and they couldn't find this thing, and they were out at midnight searching the weeds and searching the ditches and searching the fields, and said that they were really convicted because of the fact that They went searching after a dog with everything that they had, and they yelled and they cried and they wondered and they worried. But we don't do that over lost people. I've been there as I've driven for 5 hours looking for two stupid dogs that seem to have the best time of their lives out running through the cow crap. And isn't that a picture? These stupid dogs come home covered in cow crap, and what's the first thing we do? Man, I'm glad they're back. We drag them upstairs, and we give them baths, and we clean them up, and we make them good, and we spray stuff on them so they don't stink no more. But for someone truly lost in sin, someone truly lost in the gutter of this world, who wouldn't see Jesus if he was on our face, we pass them by and say, not today. You shouldn't preach at me this early in the morning, Chris. It's bad. But you know, the only way that the world is going to see Jesus is if we see Jesus in the Word of God and we examine the Scriptures and we see His love and who He is and what He's done and the opportunity that He's given to us, and we take that and we make that known by our lives. Because here's one thing that's true. It's when the people of God believe the Word of God and live it out, wherever the Word of God has gone with them, freedom has been established for the people that encounter it. But wherever the Word of God has been neglected, freedom has always been forfeited. Wherever the Word of God has gone, freedom has been established. But wherever the Word of God has been neglected, freedom has been forfeited. And with all those who came to this great country with the Word of God in their hearts and flowing from their lives, freedom flowed through them into this great land that we enjoy. Yeah, there's a lot of bad things in our history, but one of the great things in our history is that people believe God and they believe that we should be free and that we are. And the United States became the great hope and symbol of freedom around the world because it was based on God's principles. You ask anyone 50 years ago what America was, and they would say it's the greatest nation in the world. It was a Christian nation founded in freedom, freedom and liberty and justice for all, based on God's word and not on man's opinion. But now it seems like you take opinion poll. Everybody's got a different opinion, and nobody knows what to stand for. And everybody's like, oh, if that's what you believe, it's okay. I won't stop you. But if our kids were heading over a cliff, wouldn't we want to at least unhook the battery cable on the car that they're racing in? And you know what's interesting is people know all this about the United States, and they know this about Jesus, and they know all these things. But it doesn't make them free. And knowing the Scripture, that doesn't make you free. It can only point you to the one who can make you free. You see, Jesus is the only one who can provide us with true freedom. John 14:6, Jesus answered, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In John chapter 8, verse 36, it says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You know, there's a lot of people who know a lot about the Bible who have never met Jesus. They're the best true atheists know the Scripture better than you and I do. They do. They will strip you apart in a good debate and conversation. They'll destroy anything that we've got to say because they've examined it closely, yet they still choose not to see what God has said. You see, what's interesting is this: until they really meet Jesus and accept what he's done, they will never be free. because freedom flows from the written word into the minds and the hearts of those who seek real freedom. And God transforms it through the presence of the living word of God into the word of life that brings us the peace and reconciliation with God that we all desire. It brings us enduring freedom through the personal relationship that we can have with Jesus Christ and Him alone. And in Him, we find hope and freedom. Remember, I said there are individuals who know the word inside and out, upside down and backwards. And Scripture tells us that they even know that they are missing something. Remember, Nicodemus was a man who knew the Scripture better than any of us ever will. He knew the Old Testament, he knew everything about it, and he knew something was missing and lacking in his life. And he was drawn to Christ one evening, and Christ revealed to him the truth of his situation, where he was at. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, "Now there was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you're doing if God were not with him.'" Jesus cuts right to the chase. He says, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again." "How can a man be born when he's old?" Nicodemus asks. "Surely he can't enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born in the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You're Israel's teacher, and you don't understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know and what we testify to and what we have seen, but you still do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? Because no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." You see, it's not what you know about Jesus that saves you. It's what you believe about Jesus that brings salvation to your life and freedom in Christ. You see, we miss that part in the story. We gravitate to and we love John 3, 16 and 17, but we miss this, that we might know everything. We might have learned it all in Sunday school, but until we make it our own and we put our faith and trust and believe in Him, we do not have eternal life. We could probably lead people to the Lord, but we haven't been led to the Lord ourselves by putting our faith and trust in Him for our security and our hope. John 3, 16 and 17, "For God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn it, but to save the world through Him." You know, Nicodemus found freedom from sin, death, and religion, and found freedom in Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus was set free from a lust for money in Luke chapter 19. The woman at the well was set free from her immorality in John chapter 4. Saul, the great persecutor of the church, became Paul, the great apostle of grace in the book of Acts. And there are countless stories of people's lives being transformed when they truly take what they know and let it filter into their hearts and they find Jesus and are saved. That they're set free from the bondage and to the freedom and the life as a child of God that only comes through knowing Him and believing in Him. And we hear all these great stories. We see all these great things. But I want you to know something. You are God's great story being written right now. He's done things in your lives that these people could only dream about. And He wants to do even greater things. You know, when all of this took place, when all of this happened, and you look back and you read Scripture, you look at when God was doing something great, it was always doing a time when it seemed like God's people were being stomped down. When Israel was in slavery, he sent a deliverer and a savior. He sent someone to bring them out through the sea. He led them through the desert. He provided them with all that they needed. And God continues to do that with his church today. God wants to do that throughout difficult times, and he wants to bring us all to the hope and the freedom that comes through him. And it's only when his followers live up to the freedom they have in him to live lives above sin and failure that God flourishes in the lives of the people around them. We can find true freedom in Jesus Christ and in him alone. And once we found out what real freedom is all about in the Word of God and receive it by accepting the Son of God as our Savior and Redeemer, God empowers us to live in that newfound freedom that he has provided to us, because the power to live in God's freedom comes through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You see, ladies and gentlemen, he didn't just say, go and do what's right. He says, look, I want you to go and do what's right, and to make sure you accomplish it, I'm sending my Holy Spirit in you to do those things. It wasn't just to take the gospel to the ends of the world that Jesus saves. It was to show that it was true by living it out each day, that you can rise above sin and death and hell in your life every day and be a transformed person for him. But we need to live according to God's principles through the power of his Spirit. And that's when people see real life and freedom in us. In 2 Corinthians 3:16 and 17, it reminds us that when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You know, here's the problem that most people live. They're living like Nicodemus with rules and regulations and religion. They're not living with Jesus and the Spirit. They're like, if I just do the right thing, If I just obey the right rules, if I don't speed and I don't cuss on Sundays and I don't chew on Sundays, I'm good. But he didn't just save us for Sundays. He saved us for eternity. And his desire is to make us completely holy and free from sin in our lives. And he said, I want to empower you to do so. It's not impossible. But there are people in this world, and at times I struggle with the same thing, that think we can do enough and be right with God without God's help. And every time we fall off the horse, we sin and fall short of the glory of God like he says we will and we do. I find that we're really unhappy and uncertain about things in our lives. We compare ourselves to other people, or at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so. And we're reminded that there are none righteous, no, not one. And we're reminded that without God's grace, love, and mercy, and without Jesus Christ, there isn't a person who could be saved. And I'm so thankful that he's given us his word to point us towards his Son. And he's given us his Son, and through his life, death, and resurrection, we find hope, peace, and freedom. And he's given us his Spirit so that we can live freely for him no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in. You know, none of us have a guarantee of what next 4th of July would look like. I certainly didn't expect it to look like yesterday, did you? But be encouraged and be reminded that many of Paul's greatest works were written while he was in prison with no freedom whatsoever. Go back and read the books of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Look at those prison epistles and tell me if you can see the man in jail or the man just free because of his Savior. John, he wrote the book Revelation while exiled to the island of Patmos, where he was sent to die. And even though these men were in prison, they were free in Jesus Christ. You know, there was a point in time where being an American meant you were a Christian. It doesn't mean that anymore. Just like knowing about Jesus doesn't mean that you really know him, and it doesn't mean that you're a Christian, and it doesn't mean that you're saved. But since you are here and listening to this message, whether here or online, you are searching for the freedom that you can only possess by surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. Every last bit of it, the good, the bad, the ugly, you need to surrender it all to him and his control. And I know that doesn't sound like a very freeing thing, but when the Savior of the world says, I'm willing to take all of the garbage, all of the trash, all of the sin, all of the everything that you aren't in this world, and I'm willing to wipe that away and make it all new so that you can be what I intended you to be, that's his offer to each and every one of us. True freedom when we surrender everything to him. You need to surrender your life and into the caring, care-filled, and capable hands of Jesus Christ. And you know, here's the deal. It doesn't matter where you're one of the little kids that were in kids' stuff this morning, or you're one of the older people in the room. Today is the best day ever to do that. Because there's more riding on us surrendering our lives to him right now, at this point in history, in our lives and in our country's lives, than we can imagine. You see, I believe God has done some amazing, great things by allowing this country to be established. And I believe he is still doing great things right now. But I'm a little nervous on what I see happening in our landscape and in our world. And it's if we don't get it together, we can end up just like Israel did many times over and over in Scripture. But here's one of the promises that God has given to us and has said over and over again, and it's been reiterated throughout history as a rallying cry for the nation. 2 Chronicles 7:13 through 15, he says, you know, when I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land and send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. And you know what's interesting is this. People go, oh, that's such a great verse. But do you hear what he's telling us that we need to do? Humble ourselves before the God of all creation and the Savior of our souls. Pray and seek his face and what he desires for everyone. Turn from our wicked ways. Did you know that Christians sin? Anybody know that? Turn to the person next to you and say, sinner. Yeah, that's why we need Jesus. And he's telling us that his grace does not extend to us going out and deliberately living in sin. And you know what? I'm kind of curious about this passage because Christians in America aren't very humble folk. They set aside praying and seeking him for lesser things. And the reality is most Christians don't look much different from their neighbors who are going straight to hell. And I'm wondering how big that influence is on the direction that our country is heading. But I do know that he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, return to him and pray and seek his face, turn away from their sin and turn back to him, he says he's listening and he will heal and he will forgive and he will restore what he has come to establish. So maybe, just maybe, we Christians, or we who call ourselves Christians, are the plug between heaven and earth right now on God doing something great in this country. I don't know. But if we want peace and freedom that can't be shaken, and we want the free America that God desires it to be, it's time that his people humble themselves, pray and seek his face, turn from the sin in our lives, and watch what he will do next. That's the only way freedom will continue and freedom will be for all. It starts in us and flows through us to the people around us as we lead them to Jesus. So let's pray as the worship team comes. God, I am thankful for your word because it points out the fact that we need a Savior. That we are not free from sin and death and hell apart from you. And I am thankful that you, through faithful men and women, spoke your word and people wrote it down for us to dissect and look at and live our lives by. But Lord, we've got a pretty high position we have held for a long time called America, called Christians in America. And we're finding out that apart from you, we can do no good thing. So, Lord God, I pray that we would look at your word and seek you in it, and that we would all find you, and that we would find you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and Savior of the world, and we would make you that in our lives. That you would not just be our Savior, but you would be our Lord. And Lord, that as we do that, as you reveal sin in our lives, I pray that we would turn our back to the sin and turn our face towards you and walk back home in those areas. And as we, your people, seek your face and we pray and turn from our wicked ways, and we gain the ability to intercede on behalf of those around us, that the whole world would know the freedom that they can have in and through you and you alone. Because, Lord, we do live in the greatest place on earth where we still can worship you freely at this time. And I just pray that you and what you desire would be established once again. And that your kingdom come and your will would be done here in our lives and in this country, so that the whole world might know you. For where your word and your people have gone, freedom has always been established. But where it is neglected, freedom and liberty is lost, because the world doesn't know you. Lord, we love you. Hear our cry. In your name, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
As you go from this place, go in the peace of the Lord. Enjoy the freedom that He has brought into your life. Take it with you wherever you go and share that as being something even greater than living in this wonderful country that we live in. And share God's good word in the lives of the people around you so that they might know Him and fall in love with Him as you have. Continue to seek His face. And seek the face of God on behalf of the land. And watch what He can do. Let's pray. Father God, thank You. Thank You again for Your word, which shows us our need. Thank You for Your word, which shows us Your great provision through Your Son. And thank You for the word that says their trust in Jesus will never be put to shame. But we can be free from sin and death and hell forever and live above the sin in our lives and be like Him one day. So Lord, we go from this place today in the presence of Your Spirit to live our lives for You. For we are not our own, we are bought at a price. The wonderful price paid by Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, in whose name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Have a great week, folks. Remember, those of you with masks out those doors, offering plates are on the way out. You can drop that in as you go. Also, that way, see us.